There is only one name under heaven in which we must be saved, through Jesus Christ. So then, the gospel is the good news. It's the message of truth concerning the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead, so that we can have eternal life through faith in him. That's the gospel. It's being perverted these days.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, what will we be studying today?
Well, Dave, today we continue our look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, where we're going to focus on the grace of God in truth. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 for the answer.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Need to repent, because he's fixed a day in which he's going to judge. God says, repent and believe in the truth of Jesus Christ, right? So he says, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. You're not saved before the gospel. Don't believe the wicked theology going out there that someone gets regenerated before the gospel comes to them. They are saved through the saving truth that's revealed in the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Jesus saves us, and it is revealed in the gospel. And so we see here, also by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. He's saying, hey, there's the possibility you might have taken it on a surface level, and it will manifest in your life later on, and it doesn't apply to you, and you're in big trouble. That's what he's saying, basically, okay? He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures reveal that all of us have gone astray. Each of us sheep have gone astray. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was numbered with the transgressors. He died for our sins. That's why he died. According to the Scriptures. That's the written word. And that he was buried. That's an affirmation that he actually died. And that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That brings about the fact that God accepted his sacrifice and that he is truly the Son of God. He is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God with death could not hold. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He's raised according to the Scriptures and he appeared to Cephas the 12. We have the good news. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I mentioned this a little earlier, but I'll share part of it now. The Corinthians got a problem. They're like bragging about who baptized who. Hey, I got baptized by him. Oh, I got baptized by him. You know, Paul's like, I'm glad I didn't baptize anybody. Oh, I did baptize. You know, you can hear him in what he's saying. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech. Oh, that destroys so many seminaries right now. Not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should be made void. Oh, breaks my heart when I see the wickedness of that. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Don't forget that. Satan wants you to think it's not powerful. You need to spruce it up. You're be ashamed of it, whatever. Paul says, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. He knows that God uses his word to convict hearts that they might turn to Jesus Christ, understanding they need a Savior, recognizing that and believing in him to bring salvation. It's the good news that Christ the Lord, Jesus Christ the Lord, took on human flesh and he died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that you can have forgiveness of sins. Peace with God through faith in him. You can have eternal life. It is the gospel of our salvation. Salvation from sin and its eternal consequences of judgment. It is the message of good news concerning Jesus Christ the Savior. You might remember the angel's announcement to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, and I'll read this for you. An angel said to them, that's to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And so we see in our passage, the Colossians had this hope laid up for them in heaven, which they previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel reveals there is hope past this life. There is hope, genuine, true hope, that you will have everlasting life if you believe in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, that you have a genuine hope laid up for you in heaven. It is truly the good news to those who are willing to accept it. If you're not willing to accept it, it is terrible news, because the same Christ who died for you will judge you for rejecting the good news concerning salvation in Christ alone. And you will experience, after dying in your sins, a condemning judgment. You'll be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. There are people suffering in Hades, getting ready for judgment in the lake of fire. Every single day, you think of the rich man and Lazarus, that example the Lord Jesus gave. He's saying, "Send Lazarus for water to put on my tongue. I'm in agony. Oh, send him to tell my brothers." No, they have Moses and the scriptures. Let them hear them. If they don't hear them, they won't believe if someone even comes from the dead. The reality is, there is a terrible, terrifying judgment for rejecting Christ, for dying in your sins. We need salvation, and this is the good news. It's the good news. We think of it as not good news because we get ashamed and embarrassed because so many people don't want to hear it. Well, it doesn't matter if they want to hear it or not. Let God deal with that. If he prompts you to share it, and he leads you to share his word while you have hope, share the word of God and know that God's word is the power, his power unto salvation. So then we have this tremendous, truly good news. And notice back in our passage, it's characterized as the word of truth. There's so much lies out there. Just listen to the news these days. Look on social media, TikTok, all this stuff. Lies, 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 lies. But here we have the word of truth. The gospel is the word of truth. We have so much satanic falsehood in the world, you can live up your life with no eternal consequence. That's false. You can live it like you want. You can do whatever you want. You can be whoever you want to be. You can have whatever pronoun you want. You can do whatever you want. But that's a lie, because there is judgment for sin. And God is gracious. He put his son on the cross in our place. He died for our sins. It's the message of truth. You see, Jesus proclaimed that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed throughout the whole earth or to all the nations. The reality is that having overlooked the times of ignorance, Acts 17, verse 30, God is now declaring to all men everywhere that they, everyone, everywhere, should repent. Because, here's why people need to repent. Because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he's appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Because of judgment, men must repent. You see, the gospel does you no good if you don't know what you're being saved from. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and inherent in the scriptures, according to scriptures, are the consequences to our sins. And we need to share that. There is judgment for sin, but Jesus took God's wrath. He paid the price. It's the gospel of truth. It's the word of truth. Paul would share the Ephesians, and I mentioned this earlier, that after listening to the message of truth, Ephesians 1:13, the gospel of your salvation. The message is twisted these days. The message of truth comes from the scriptures. Message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Speaking of salvation, James writes, James 1:18, "In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth." Don't buy into this stuff where you can be brought forth and regenerated before that. No, he brings us forth through the word of God. It is through the instrumentality of the word of God concerning the person of Jesus Christ, as the Spirit convicts us of our sins and reveals Jesus Christ. By faith, we respond and we are saved. But you can reject it. God would say, do not harden your heart if you hear his voice. If you're being convicted, do not harden your heart. Don't turn away from this. There are those who recognize. We're going to see this word later on. It was translated understood, but it's used of recognizing. It's recognizing the full truth. Now, those are those in 2 Peter who recognize the full truth and turn away from it. Don't be like that. People can recognize it but not believe in Jesus, okay? They get convicted. They know it, and then they turn away from it. So then it is the word of truth. We have the truth. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. Not falsehood, but the truth. When Paul introduces his letter to Titus, he talks about God who cannot lie. He cannot lie. Our God, it is impossible for him to lie, Hebrews 16:18. Impossible. This is the message of truth. God is telling you the truth through the gospel, and we better listen or we are eternally in trouble. Now, Jesus is shown in the scripture to be the manifestation of truth. We see in Ephesians 4:20, but you did not learn Christ this way, hey, living it up like you did before you were saved. You didn't learn Christ that way, living in sin like that. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. It is the message of truth from a God who is absolutely unable to lie, a God who speaks truth in everything he says. Do you realize if it's God's word and it's thus true, then if you don't agree with it or soften it, you are impugning the very character of God, and you are made a liar. Okay? Paul, when he addresses the quandary of Jewish unbelief, he talks about this in Romans chapter 3. He says, verse 3, what then if some did not believe? Their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. It is the message of truth. It's the message of truth. Indeed, when the Apostle Paul was sharing with the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he made it clear, again, I mentioned this earlier, he didn't care about his life so that he would finish the course of the ministry. That ministry, as he shares here in Acts 20, and I'll read this for you. But I do not consider my life as count dear to myself in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. You see, this passage reveals what the gospel is. It's God's truth, and God's truth reveals the grace of God. God cannot lie. His word is entirely true, and his mind revealed. Jesus would pray, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119:160, the sum of thy word is truth. Now within this, to our passage, we're going to see that this truth reveals the grace of God in truth. Look at our passage. It talks about the gospel, the end of verse 5, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. And I just mentioned this earlier, Acts, Paul talks about the gospel of the grace of God. That was his ministry, to share that. You see, the good news points to Jesus Christ, but it points to the grace of God. It is the gospel of the grace of God. We see in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Jesus Christ has shined forth. He has come forth. The offer of salvation is available to all men. God's grace, his unmerited favor in the person of Jesus Christ, has been brought forth, his unmerited favor demonstrated in the person and work of Jesus Christ. God's grace in the person of Christ shined forth, appearing 2,000 years ago. His unmerited favor prophesied since sin entered the world was revealed and demonstrated to mankind through the death of God the Son for our sins, the once-for-all sacrifice of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. His grace, his favor towards us, we don't deserve it. We're wretched sinners deserving of hell, and God graciously had his Son pay the price for us instead. It's the gospel of the grace of God. You see, that's the good news. But to understand the good news, we need to recognize there is some bad news. The scriptures reveal that man is in a horrible state of spiritual death caused by sin, which will end in physical death, and then the second death, which is separation from God and punishment forever. For the wages of sin is death. That's the truth. Now, we've all smelled it. We've all smelled the stench of death that sin brings. The separation when we've sinned before we came to Christ and even afterwards. The smell of death, shame and guilt and blame and cover-up and self-effort. You might remember back in Genesis chapter 3 when Eve was deceived and disobeyed and Adam went along with it. They disobeyed God's word and the consequence was then shame and covering up and self-effort because they were separated from God because of their sin. Then the eyes of them were both opened, Genesis 3:7, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and then the man and the wife hid themselves.
Wow.
From the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And God says that to you right now. Where are you? Are you in your sin? He sent his son Jesus to die for you. He said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then notice Adam blamed God instead of confessing. He could have come out and said, "I sinned." And man said, "The woman that thou hast given me, she gave to me from the tree." This is after they asked, "What did you do?" "And I ate." Some of you are still in the domain of darkness, as evidenced by your shame and guilt and blaming others for your situations and your sin. The only thing you have to look forward to is the certain terrifying expectation of judgment. Hebrews chapter 11, 26, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Now that's saying, hey, those who forsake fellowship are evidencing that maybe they're not saved. So that's the context there. We go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. He goes on to talk about those who reject God's Son and insult the Spirit of grace. The Lord is going to repay with vengeance. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. These people live their lives with their noses and their hands in God's face, and they die and they will stand before Him in a terrifying manner. Don't believe the lies of the world. It's the gospel, the truth of the grace of God. God is a gracious God. You see, we've been saved by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul tells the Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." He was eternally worshipped, eternally exalted as God the Son, but he took on human flesh and humbled himself, becoming a bondservant in the likes of men. He took on human flesh, and he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him back to his rightful state, we see. The grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's grace. Are you listening? See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, Hebrews 12:25. So today I proclaim to you the good news that God's grace has appeared and that his grace was manifest in his son dying for our sins, paying the full penalty. And he calls upon you to acknowledge your sin, to turn, repent, believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There is only one name under heaven in which we must be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. So then, the gospel is the good news. It's the message of truth concerning the grace of God and the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life through faith in him. That's the gospel. It's being perverted these days. It's the gospel of error these days. We need to not be ashamed of it because it's powerful. It is the powerful gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Trust the Lord. And when he calls to you to be obedient as his minister of reconciliation, as his ambassador, share his words, not yours, share his. But you need to be ready. Now, what's amazing is we come to our passage here. That is the message. That's the message of the gospel. But notice there's a means in which it is delivered. Verse 5, the gospel. Notice verse 6, which has come to you, just as in all the world. Paul reminds the Colossians that the gospel has come to them. This gospel, this message of truth, this gospel, the grace of God, it's come to them. Now, it's interesting. It's not the normal Greek verb to say come, which is erkomai, which is often translated come or go. It is paremi, which speaks of being alongside. It has come and is present. It's come and it's there. It's alongside. It was with them. It had been delivered to them, and it was with them. We never leave the gospel. God brings us the gospel, and it is with us, as we say. But God brings it to us. We don't come to it. God brings it to us. And how does he do it? He uses men and women who are his servants to deliver it. Look at verse 7. Just as you learned it, that's speaking of the gospel, from Epaphras. They were taught the gospel. The term learned means to be taught something. They were taught the gospel from Epaphras. And what then was their response? Back to verse 6. The gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. We'll look at that in a minute. Even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. First of all, you got to hear the message. Someone brings it. You hear it. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We'll see that in a minute. You hear the message, but then you need to understand it. Paul would tell Timothy that it's so great, Timothy, your mother and grandmother, they brought you the truth that brought about the knowledge of salvation. And Timothy obviously understood in that. So here, now this term here, we understand it, akouo, we get our word acoustics. Understand is an interesting word. It's not epignosis, it's epignosko, which means to understand or know exactly, or thus to recognize or acknowledge. You know, when you recognize someone, you know exactly who they are. Aha, it's you. You got it, right? You know exactly. And so here, they heard it, and they understood it. The gospel, that God had manifest his grace in Jesus Christ, and that they needed a Savior, and he was the only Savior. And they believed. We see that they believed by faith. Back in verse 4, they believed they had faith in Christ. Praise God. So he says, which has come to you. Then he says, just as in all the world. So wait a second. Why do we have missionaries then? He says, just as in all the world. Kind of interesting statement. Now, it's a difficult statement to interpret, but does Paul mean everybody's heard it? Or is he just using hyperbole? Well, we know from Luke chapter 24 that the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. We know from Acts 4:12 that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So what's he talking about? I'm not totally sure, but what I think he's saying is the gospel has come to the known world.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we saw the Colossians had heard and understood the gospel.
Yes, we did, Dave, and they responded. So my question to those listening today who have heard the gospel is, do you understand it? And if you do, have you responded by turning to Jesus from your sin, repenting, and then trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you see, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you call upon him right now?
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.